You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, let's go to today's scripture reading. It's in Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 6. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for your Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's open up a prayer and we'll get started. Father God, we pause now. Thank you for the time we get to set aside and study your word. Hopefully to get closer to you and be approved in your sight. You've given us the scriptures. We hopefully rightly divide it, handle it accurately, and apply it to our lives and be a good witness for you in our walk. We pray that we have the Spirit to get to know you better each and every day through scripture, through prayer, through Bible study, through fellowship. And thank you for all you bless us with, for the forgiveness of sins, for the position we have in Christ, for the calling we have on high, and just how much we've been blessed by your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you for what we do here at Northside with our ministry on rightdivision.com. We thank you for the outreach we receive there. We thank you for the ministries that we support, like Paul Pillay and Lila Maples of Loops, who was here last week and gave us a great message. So we thank you for that. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Last week, if you weren't here, you missed a great lesson. Of course, Lila Maples, every time he teaches, I get a kick out of it because he's so entertaining, and he doesn't try to be. His personality is such that he just tells it like it is. And I really appreciated his message because in the back, my class, I'm taking through the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. And, you know, right division, you know, it's like 101, difference between a Jew and a Gentile. But Christendom doesn't know that. They don't know there's a difference. They think maybe they're spiritual Israel. Okay, well, fast forward. The scripture reading last week, Leland read Acts 28:28, which is a very important verse for our denomination here because we acknowledge Acts 28:28 is a dividing line between the salvation being authorized by Israel and then salvation now being authorized by the Gentiles. It changed. Now, if you go to Acts 28:28, it says, "Be it known therefore that unto you the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it." That word "sent" means authorized. They now take possession, and it's theirs. Okay, well, why is that such a big deal? You have a picture in your handout. This picture is an excerpt from a chart that's drawn entitled "An Overview of God's Revealed Plan and Hidden Purpose in the Ages." This section covers part of the Old Testament and the dividing line of the Old Testament to the New Testament. You see there the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see a dashed line where Jesus is raised. And then you get into this little thing called the Acts period. And at the close of Acts, you read 28:28, "Salvation is now sent unto the Gentiles." Then you come into a period in time that was hidden, never before seen in the Old Testament or anybody before them. And Paul wrote Ephesians, he revealed this mystery, this secret, the fact that the Gentiles now have a new message, a new position, and are really special because God has addressed them directly. Now, Leland had some really good scriptures. He said, if you look at the books Paul wrote after the Acts period, those are seven: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Timothy. He said in there were places where there were warnings, meaning the word beware. And he took us to the scriptures in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. That says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are circumcision with worship in God and spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, he went to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, where it said, beware, lest any man spoil you, philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, he spent time on his lesson going through these bewares. He spent time talking about dogs. What are dogs? He didn't think that was a Doberman. He talked about evil workers. He talked about concision. He also talked about philosophy and vain deceit. And I really enjoyed that lesson, so please go back and listen to it if you missed it. But what I thought was good, because I took this passage and expounded upon it. This passage, going back to Philippians chapter 3, starting verse 4. Though I might also have confidence of flesh, if any man thinketh that he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Man, you can't beat me. I'm a stud. I'm Paul the Apostle. I don't care if you try to raise me one iota of, I'm such a good Jew, I can beat it. Let me tell you how I can beat it. I was circumcised on the eighth day. The stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Pharisees were the elite of the elite in the Jewish ranks. He was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. Okay, now, let's talk about that. Where did Saul come into the picture? Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. Now, there was a guy named Stephen. Stephen was a faithful Christian. He was Jewish, but he believed Christ was the Messiah. And he was pulled in front of the high priest. In chapter 7, verse 2. We'll start at verse 1. Then he said unto the high priest, are these things so? Everybody was accusing Stephen of testifying of Christ. And the Jews really didn't like that, especially the Jewish leaders. Well, Stephen answered the high priest's question. He said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared under our father Abraham. Now, this is kind of special because Abraham was the first Jew. You have Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11, clear of Jews. They weren't Jews at the time. It's a common question in my class. Jacob could probably tell you. I commonly ask, who was the first Jew? Jacob's ready every time. He said, Abraham. He's a star student. I may be repeating myself too much because he's getting it. But Pete, repeat, you get it. So, some guys have been cut off guard and said, you know, Adam. No, one is Jewish. Abram became Abraham, who was the first Jew. Now, God called him because he had dealt with mankind through Adam and Eve and went up to the flood Then God had to flood the earth because everybody was corrupt except for Noah and his family. Noah then survived the flood. His sons had babies, and they produced offspring until they came to the Tower of Babel. A guy named Nimrod got up and said, "Hey, man, you know, we're pretty studs, and we're pretty good guys. Let's all just build a tower to heaven to show God how good we are." So hold your place in Acts. Go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Whole earth was with one language and one speech. Had that one world government. Here it is, the first time. One world government, one language, one speech. So one world government's pretty good. So they all came together. It said, verse 3, let's go and make brick. And let's make some stone. And verse 4, let's build this tower. May it reach up to heaven. And let us make us a name for ourselves. Because this is going to be a good tower. Verse 5, the Lord came down. He saw the city and the tower, which the children of men built. And the Lord said, "Man, was he happy? No. Behold, they all have one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will restrain from them, which they have imagined to do." We found in Genesis 8:21 that the Lord said that the man's heart is evil continually. So here he comes down, confounds her speech, and spreads the nations. They move on. So after this, God in chapter 12 called a little guy named Abram to come out, and he said, look, chapter 12, verse 2, "I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And all the families of the earth will be blessed." God called Abram to be Abraham. Abraham, 99 years old. Go to chapter 17, verse 1. Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, verse 2, "I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." Verse 4. "Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for father of many nations have I made thee." Verse 7. "I will establish my covenant between me and thee, thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and thy to thy seed after thee." Now, what brought me here was Stephen. Stephen was in front of these religious hierarchy of Israel, the priest, and he was responding to accusations, and he said, "Look, I'm taking you back to Abraham, the very first Jew." Let's go back to Acts. Now, we're at Acts chapter 7. Verse 2. So he tells a story. Here, Abram was called. He goes down to verse 9. There was Joseph. He was in Egypt, but God was with him. Going down to verse 20. Hey, Moses came along. He was born. He got Israel out of Egypt. Verse 32, "I am the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." So, the fathers, it's often clear that blessings from Abraham flowed through Isaac and then flowed through Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. That's around Genesis chapter 32. So Israel had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. They ended up in Egypt. Moses came along, pulled them out of Egypt, took them to a mountain called Sinai. And if we go back to Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, so in the third month, with the children of Israel, which were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day which they came into the wilderness of Sinai, verse 3, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord saying, called him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Israel, house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I have done to the Egyptians. I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you'll be a peculiar treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Here it is. God's expressing the blessings he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Moses to go down and tell the people. This is the story. Now, what's interesting about this is if you are a programmer, you understand if-then statements. If-then, for programming, you create a test. If statement is met, then statement is completed. What you account for is if statement is not met, then statement is not completed. If then, it's pretty simple. You see here, the covenant is based on if then. If you obey my covenant and keep it. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 8. Now, when was Hebrews written? During the New Testament, during the Acts period. Who was it written to? Well, the title is self-addressing to Hebrews. Hebrews are Jewish Israel. Now, in chapter 8, verse 8, we see a quote from Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day which I took down the hand of lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded not, saith the Lord. Now, we read back where Moses had that if-then statement. And Moses was given the law, the Ten Tablets, the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone, where God wrote them. He took them down and gave them to Israel. But there's that if-then. The law was considered the Old Covenant. That was the primary governance of how Israel was taught to behave. The law, legalism. Now, verse 10. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and in their write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. He's not going to write the law on tablets, he's going to write the law on their hearts. This is called the new covenant, verse 13. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which is decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. In the New Testament, Christ came and was offering to bring in the new covenant to Israel if they accepted him as Messiah. They did not. So, verse 13, now that which decayeth and waxes old, the old covenant, is ready to vanish away. If they accept him as Savior, here comes a new covenant. It didn't happen. Now go back to Acts chapter 7. So here's Stephen telling the story. And he has so eloquently pulled all this in. In verse chapter 7 of Acts, verse 51. Stephen probably got a little enthusiastic. He started maybe calmly, but by the time it came to verse 51, hey, dadgum, you stiff neck and uncircumcised heart and ears, you do resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Have they slain them? Which showed before the coming of the which just one, of whom we now have been betrayers and murderers, who have received the law and disposition of angels, have not kept it. So the if statement, if then, they have not kept it. Well, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him at their teeth. Stephen! I don't like what you said. Kill him! Stone him! Picked up stones, bashed Stephen. But the last thing Stephen said, verse 60, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He gave up the ghost. Now, we got here by reading the statement in Philippians chapter 3. In your handout, you see it in verse 5 and 6. It's underlined. Paul the Apostle said, look, do you think you can out-Israelize me? You're not going to do it. Because concerning zeal in verse 6, persecuting the church. Now, back in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Saul was contenting unto Stephen's death. He was there. Here's a guy who was a Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, tribe of the Benjamin. He's like this with the chief priest. He's consenting of the death of Stephen. So, man, Paul must have been a bad dude. I mean, he must have been one sharp cookie. You would never want to cross Paul. Well, Saul at that time. Let's see what Saul wants to do after this. Now, verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing every man and woman, committed them to prison. So here's a guy going around finding Christians and having them thrown in jail. Chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing and threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. So he's busy at his work. He's this zeal, he's got it. He goes to the high priest. Hey, give me some letters so I can go to Damascus and find people of similar persuasion. When I do, I'm going to bind them and bring them back and have them prosecuted just like Stephen did. And I appreciate it. You got it. Stamp approved. Go. Verse Verse 3, as he journeyed, came near Damascus, suddenly there arose a shine around about him, a light from heaven. He fell to the ground of the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul said, well, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the goads. And right there, Saul was saved. Saul now was on Jesus' side. Saul, on the road to Damascus, was going to find Christians, bind them, take them back, and prosecute them just like he did Stephen. But on that road to Damascus, the Lord had a different plan. So, the Lord said to him, well, verse 6, he said, trembling and astonished, Lord, what will they have me do? I was out persecuting guys that believed in you. What would he have me do? Rise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So in verse 8, Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw a man. So he was blinded. So the men that were with Saul guided him and brought him into Damascus. 3 days he was out without sight. Now, here's Damascus. We have a guy named Ananias. Now, Ananias, he was a good old guy. He was a Jewish believer. He was a Christian. The Lord appeared unto him and said, verse 10, send a vision. Ananias, here I am, Lord. What do you need? Said unto him, arise and go in the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one of Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that we might receive his sight. Now, we had read about the zeal that Saul of Tarsus had towards believers. Do you think he had a reputation? Do you think Ananias had heard about that reputation? Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Come on, you cannot be serious. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind them, all them that call on thy name. Hey, he's a bad dude. Not only that, he has the authority of the chief priest to bind us and take us to jail. You have got to be kidding. Okay, hold your tongue, Ananias. Go unto him, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear thy name before the Gentiles, before the kings, and before the children of Israel. Three parts of his ministry: Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. We find he fulfills that ministry in reverse order. He goes to Israel first. They accuse him. He then goes to kings and is appealing that accusation. And finally he goes to the Gentiles. Here's a guy that was persecuting believers in Christ. And I said, come on, this can't be serious, but he is a chosen vessel of me to go to the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. The Apostle Paul was not one of the 12 disciples. He was the apostle chosen to the Gentiles. 12 disciples went to the Jews. Peter, John, Mark, all Jewish. All told specifically to go to the Jews. It wasn't until Paul was given the authority to address the Gentiles. Now, in the Old Testament, if you wanted to get right with God, you had to be what's called a proselyte. You had to adopt the Jewish religion. You had to be brought in to the Jewish faith. Even then, when you were brought in, you were not brought in full status. You were a second-class citizen because you're a proselyte. I was a member of a fraternity at Oklahoma University. The same fraternity was held, they have multiple chapters across the country. I was an Alpha Tau Omega. A member of ATO at the OSU chapter wanted to transfer to OU. So we had a chapter meeting, and we voted, will we allow this member from OSU transfer to Oklahoma? We allowed him to transfer, but gave him second-class status of non-voting rights in the membership. That's an example of being a proselyte. That was the only way. We went back and saw Abraham was the first Jew. From that point on, Genesis chapter 12 through, you know, that much of the Bible is Jewish. If you're going to be part of the program, you've got to be Jewish. That's the Old Testament. Here comes the New Testament. Apostle Paul is called. During the book of Acts, he's gone from killing the Christians to explaining, look, you guys can come in with faithful Abraham. You don't have to be fully Jewish. You just have to follow a few things. But this concept of grace and faith brings in these Gentiles along with faithful Abraham. Now, Derek's going through a study in Romans. Romans is a perfect book that talks about this debate between Jewish and Gentile, and why do the Gentiles get the blessings now? Because they're not proselytes. What's going on? They've been brought up to the front of the line. You know, Gentiles never could be in the line. If they were, they had to be in the back of the line. So now, through Acts, they're being brought up with them and receiving the faith and salvation with faithful Abraham. So there's a whole lot of consternation of the Jews trying to figure that out. And Paul, who better, who was a Pharisee, who was overly zealous of the Jewish faith, who's now representing the grace in Paul's gospel, who better to try to hash it out for the Jews than Paul? Back to Philippians chapter 3 in your handout, verse 7. Well, back in 6. Persecuted, shunning the righteous, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me at that time, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things lost, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but which is the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death. Colossians chapter 2. Last week we saw where Leland was talking about the beware. But I expanded the scripture reading. Verse 10, you're complete in him which is the head of all principality power, whom also you are circumcised with the uncircumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We are buried with him in baptism. We are risen with him through the faith and the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, in uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which is contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. With that he spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let therefore no man judge you in meat, drink, respect of a holy day, or the new moon or Sabbath days, which are the shadow of things come, but the body is of Christ. As Christians today, we're members of the body of Christ. We're not the bride. We're the body of Christ. We're Christ is the head, and we're part of this body. According to Paul's prison epistles, we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's in Ephesians 1:4. We have been raised with Christ and seated with Christ, Ephesians 2:6. In the heavenlies, far above all. This is where our blessings are located. That's said in Ephesians 1:3. And that's where our affection should be set. And that's said in Colossians 1:3-4. This is our hope. This is the body of Christ. God, who chosen him before the foundation of the world, began something new at the close of the Acts period, Acts 28:28. Paul calls this the mystery in Ephesians 3:9. And the mystery means God's sacred secret, which was revealed to the Apostle Paul for us Gentiles. Our blessings are not Abraham's. Our inheritance is in the heavenlies with Christ. We don't look for a kingdom here on earth. Our kingdom is in the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:12-13. Our citizenship is in the heavens, from whence we eagerly await the Savior. We don't belong to Israel and their blessings. We have our own calling and blessings. It's commonplace that Christians today try to claim what's not theirs. Claim what's yours. It's so much better. Because it's not up to you. No matter what you do, it's not good enough. Christ had to do it. So being a Gentile today, being a Christian, mean you receive everything Christ receives. What a blessing. So, learn what it means to be a Gentile. Learn what it means to be a Jew. Compare the things between Jew and Gentile. Make sure you understand what's written to the Jew, what's written to the Gentile. Compare the things that differ. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Be a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, handling accurately, cutting up the word of truth. You see, all Scripture, what's neat about that passage in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Not some of the Scriptures, all of it. Even though a majority of the text is written Jewish, it's still for us. But we need to find out what's to us. That's your challenge. To get into Scripture, find out what's to you, and handle the Word of God accurately. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you for the calling we have and the position we have in Christ. We thank you for what he's done for us. It's so amazing, and it's so a blessing to receive that by faith and the gift of God. So we thank you, and we hope the lesson today was accurate. Please strike anything that was an error and keep that which is correct in our hearts so we might share with others, to share with them the reason of the hope that was in us and the great calling we have in the mystery. We thank you for this time set aside. For it's in Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.